Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, everybody jump, 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 jump.
A good Thursday to one and all. It is Tash and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. As we come to you live from the Rocky Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio, Rocky Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. You've got Mike and Pete across the way. Darwin Zook. Bogish's kids are sick. He's out today. Zook is in the house. He's got your updates over the course of the next 3 hours as we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Taz? How you doing, bro?
Good. Moose, good. I hope you're well. Looking forward to another awesome show for everyone here on our team and the listening audience. We have a loaded show, and we're going to handle a lot of your bracket needs.
Good show on tap. Kim Jones, NFL Network, will join us a little later on in the program. Looking forward to that. She's coming your way at 7:40 a.m. Eastern time. And we'll run through the East and West preview. We'll run through the South and Midwest. We'll give you our Final Four, give you our championship. Remember, there's still time to sign up for the Taz and the Moose Bracket Challenge. We sent out the link via Twitter. And we did a number of days ago. Sign up and get it going. Pick a champion.
Yeah.
Go through the bracket and go from there.
The thing is, though, as you know, Moose, if people right now, you people that happen to be listening on the podcast to this show right now, there's a good chance you missed the opportunity to
hopefully you signed up earlier.
Yeah, hopefully you did it while we're live. Yeah, hopefully
earlier you did it yesterday. When you listened to the podcast, right?
You don't want
to. If you listen to the podcast at 1 o'clock this afternoon, you missed it.
No, you're done. Yeah,
right. The tournament gets going shortly after noon Eastern time. So try and sign up. You got 6 hours to do it. But if you're listening to the podcast at 8 o'clock tonight, you missed the window. So
that's basically there you go.
Yes. Ohio State Pro Day yesterday, which Dwayne Haskins reportedly, and you saw NFL Network and ESPN and all the major media outlets that cover the National Football League, soup to nuts, Taz, were out there and looking at the Ohio State Pro Day, and they put on an absolute show. Not just Haskins, but we know how good that program is.
Yeah.
And we know how talented the players are coming out of that program. Once coached by Urban Meyer, now coached by Ryan Day, moving forward here, and they produce pro after pro after pro, a lot of defensive backs, defensive linemen, some offensive linemen, skill position players. You just go around the National Football League, and you'll see NFL rosters that are dotted with Ohio State players all across the country, just like you see Alabama players and the like, because they're two of the upper echelon programs, Clemson players as well. And the highlight of the pro day for Ohio State was Dwayne Haskins, who, according to all those that were in attendance, even though Kyler Murray did impress at the Oklahoma pro day last week down in Norman, and he did have a meeting with Arizona Cardinal officials in Norman, Oklahoma, a couple days ago, which we chatted about on Tuesday night, Taz, Dwayne Haskins put on an absolute show. Leadership. Even one point in time, one of his teammates fell during the course of a route. He made sure that his teammate was okay before he continued going through his throwing progressions and putting on a display for all NFL talent evaluators to take in. And really what he did yesterday, I think for the most part, was show himself to probably be the best pure passer in this NFL draft. He's not as good of an athlete, even though he's very athletic. He's not as good of an athlete as Kyler Murray because he doesn't run it. I mean, he ran for 150 yards this past year for Ohio State. He's not the fleetest of foot. He is more of a immobile, drop back, pocket passing quarterback. But he's got an absolute cannon for an arm. Can make all the throws and showed his joy, passion, and leadership yesterday during his pro day as well, which NFL teams want to see.
Absolutely, and you're right. I mean, he really does have a gun. He does, and his accuracy is excellent. And the thing that I like, and I've watched him play a lot at Ohio State, probably about three or four times, maybe a lot's an overstatement, but man, he's smart on the field, Moose. He just makes, for you know, that's what you want. You want your quarterback to more or less be the smartest guy on the field. He's smart. He knows the game. He makes good decisions under pressure and whatnot. You know, he's athletic enough to get himself out of harm's way. Out of all the quarterbacks coming out this year, obviously Kyler Murray is the hyped guy and amazing athlete and can do it all and most dynamic, and you know, no one's arguing that. You know, but out of these other guys like Daniel Jones or Greer or Locke, you know, Haskins is the best of them, and he's real good. I think he's really good. I think he's going to be a pretty good NFL quarterback. I do.
Yeah, you know, and I think he showed that throwing for 50 touchdowns this past year at Ohio State. Certainly not the same offense as you'll get in terms of, for the most part, a pro-style offense in the NFL, depending on what variation of that, depending on who does draft Dwayne Haskins. But I think you look at him as a player, you know, they were better offensively with him at quarterback than they were with R.J. Barrett. They were more dynamic passing game, and you could see him make all the necessary throws as well. He can do it all. I mean, he really can in terms of making the throws. And I think for the most part, that's really what it comes down to in the National Football League. Can you spin it to the outside with the different hash marks and throw with great velocity? Can you throw guys open? You know, there's a difference between being open in the NFL than being open in college football. And also, I think the personality is a big-time key as well, because I think you can turn some people off, as we've seen through the draft process. Geno Smith jumps to mind.
Right. Yeah.
Where you could turn organizations off based on how you handle it. And, you know, reportedly, you know, the Giants had a dinner with them, all the decision-makers in the Giant organization out in Columbus, Ohio, Taz, and reportedly they were smitten with him. Now, I don't know. I mean, that's today. A week ago, I saw a report from someone who covers the Giants, and she does a very good job, saying that the Giants weren't exactly smitten with any of the quarterbacks in the NFL draft. Now, you see this report saying the Giants were impressed with his, you know, his intelligence, his leadership qualities, his personality, and certainly impressed with what he did on the football field out at Ohio State, throwing it during the course of his pro day. So you don't know exactly, and you don't know exactly where the Giants lie. They certainly need a quarterback, but where do they lie in terms of the interest in Dwayne Haskins?
Yeah, I mean, that remains to be seen, as we know, right? But I do think, like, it's pretty obvious. Haskins wants to be a Giant. I think that's if he had his druthers, that's where he'd be. You know, he grew up in New Jersey, and then his family eventually moved to Maryland. But a Giant fan. I remember I talked about it here on the show. I remember seeing him a couple of weeks ago with Mariucci on the NFL Network doing the chalkboard, whatever they tell that segment's called, they do. And they had Haskins on there. He had Haskins on there, and a guy was just his memory on bringing up a play that was written up by Mariucci from the 49er days when this guy Dwayne Haskins was a little kid at that time. And then he just basically, 3 minutes later, just basically recited the whole play for the most part on a chalkboard, on a dry erase board. It was very impressive. I mean, you know, he knows the game, like I said, when you watch him play. And I think that's important. If you're a Giant fan or in the Giant front office, that you get a quarterback. If you do get a quarterback this year and you go that route, you know, I do think, and the Giants obviously sit in a good spot, you know, with that, because they get the sixth overall pick in the first round. So, you know, I think they're going to have a pretty solid shot to get Dwayne Haskins. And the thing is, I think it's important, Giants or any other club, if you get a guy that wants to come to your club. I mean, look, someone's going to grab Dwayne Haskins in the first round. So, you know, I understand they don't have the hype and the love fest that's going on with Kyler Murray, but the guy is, and you laid out his accolades very well, perfectly, I should say, he's going to end up somewhere. So if this guy wants to be a Giant and you got a quarterback who's pushing 40, unless you want to wait till next year or something with free, I don't know. I mean, I found a Giant, so I'm making a move on a guy, for real.
That's my opinion. Yeah, you have to love him. I mean, it depends on if I love him or not. I mean, I might not love him at the sixth overall pick. I mean, because Gettleman's made it perfectly clear, and you saw it last year. The interview that he did on WFAN locally in New York as well, not so much the conference call he did after the Beckham trade earlier this week, Taz, was that he's not going to reach for a quarterback. So I think the Giants and Gettleman, you know, I think he said he'd like to find a young quarterback, but he's also not going to reach for a young quarterback. So I think he's basically telling you, and you saw it last year with the drafting of Saquon Barkley with the number 2 overall pick, They're not going to reach for a quarterback. They're not, if they don't think Dwayne Haskins is worthy of taking that sixth overall, well, they might not even be there at six. I mean, some team might trade up and get him. But
that's a good point.
From a giant evaluation process, if they don't believe he's the sixth best player in the draft, they're not going to reach for Dwayne Haskins. Then may see him trade back if they want to draft a quarterback, but they might. I think he's going to try and draft the best possible player with the sixth overall pick.
Yeah, and Gettleman has got to be careful. Right now, like in the New York tri-state area and the New York Giant faithful, not exactly loving this guy for the moves he did last year. A lot of people wanted him to go quarterback instead of going with the running back out of Penn State, Barkley. So now you had and then next thing you know, Beckham's Gonski. Okay, so that's a problem, too, for the people who pay the bills for the Giants, the fan base. And now, I don't know, I got a funny feeling. A lot of Giants fans, I understand, you know, Gettleman and the office, hey, they have to make the decision which best they deal for the club. It's not just what the fans want. I get it. I know that. But I do think that most Giant fans would want Dwayne Haskins as the quarterback. Mike, you're a Giant fan. Mikey B, you're a Giant fan. Would you want Haskins here in the sixth?
I'm leaning towards trying to deal for Rosen. I like that idea, and then
Really? Bulking
up the defensive line. But if they took a quarterback and they believed in him and they loved him and they were sold on him, I would have to, fingers crossed, hope they knew what they were doing.
Gotcha. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, the Rosen thing's true, and that's another possibility. I don't know. I mean, I think Haskins, I mean, he does bring a lot. He is going to get moved. And Moosh, make a good point. Someone could move up to get him before the sixth pick. That could happen. But, you know, he's going to go in that first round. So my opinion, I know you're not saying this is, you're saying what Gettleman might be thinking, that he's not going to reach for a guy. He wants the best overall player he can get in that sixth spot. And I understand that. I respect that. But I think that, I don't think this kid Haskins is a stretch. I think that he is, once Murray's gone, he's the next best quarterback in this year's draft.
Right. But is he the next? Is he the best
player?
Is he the sixth best player in the draft?
That's
a different story.
Right. I mean, but isn't it like you're right? But isn't it a deal where, like, if you're the Giants or whatever team, you know, you're trying to fill a need potentially. You know what I mean, position wise.
Yeah, I'm not drafting for. I'm drafting for
the best overall player.
Correct.
Right. Okay, I hear you.
Because I think teams that reach, teams fail in the first round. I think if you reach for a player, for the most part, if you look at teams that have done that, now there have been outliers of teams that have reached for players in the first round and they turned out to be really good, and give them credit for that. But I think you got to stay true to your board. I think that's what Gettleman's basically telling you is that. And they might. I mean, no one's denying that they don't have a need. And I've told you, you know, I do like Haskins as a player. But from a Gettleman perspective, I don't think he really, I think the confidence level that he has, I think he's got the full support of ownership. And I know he's facing a lot of heat, and I don't love the messaging that he's delivered. I think he's been a little bit lost with that, Taz, and we joked around, had some fun with it the other day.
Yep.
But I don't think Gettleman's worried about where the fans are in terms of, I think he understands that if the Giants win, the fans will be there, regardless of who's putting on the uniform, even if Odell Beckham Jr. stars with the Cleveland Browns, which in all likelihood he will. I don't know I'd love to tell you that I know what they think about the quarterbacks, or specifically Haskins, because we both believe that Kyler Murray's not going to be there. I'd love to tell you that I think they love him, or that they can't stand him, or whatever. This is a smokescreen.
Yeah.
I don't know that right now. I mean, I'm going to try and find out exactly what their thoughts are on Dwayne Haskins as we get closer and closer to the NFL draft. But I do believe that Gettleman believes in his way of drafting, which is, if he's not the sixth best player on our board, I am not going to reach for him. Now, he might be the seventh, and that's a different story. But if they look at Haskins as being the 12th or 13th best player in the draft, Taz, they're not taking him sixth overall.
Well, no, you're probably right.
He's basically showing you that. That's one thing I do believe. I don't think he's going to reach for a quarterback.
Right. No,
he's got to truly believe that he's the guy to take over Eli Manning, and he might be.
They might
think that he's that, and this might all be, you know, the original reports might all be a smokescreen.
Right.
So hopefully that other teams don't trade in front of him. Who the hell knows? At this stage, you got to take everything everybody says with a grain of salt, and specifically what Gettleman says. But I think when you look at his actions last year in the NFL draft, I think he stayed true to his convictions about how he attacks the draft And that's why Saquon Barkley was the number two overall pick. And that's why actions speak louder than words, especially with Gettleman.
Well, the thing is, too, and you're right. I mean, but the thing is, though, with Gettleman and stuff and with that mindset, and I understand a lot of teams do that. They're not going to reach, and they want the best overall player. But, you know, it's also a thing where, you like you said something earlier, you got to trust your board, and that's true. I mean, so your board might dictate, well, what's the most important position on the field? Quarterback. Well, what's the most important need we probably need right now, in case Eli goes down at his age or for the very near future, might be quarterback. Let's say you don't need defensive linemen, but Quinnen Williams sitting there or Nick Bosa as an edge rusher sitting there, whoever. I mean, so again, rhetorically questioning, like, do you stack your lineup then on the D line, but yet you got a chance to get a kid like Dwayne Haskins at Ohio State?
Within reason. I mean, say that a running back is the number one overall prospect in the draft. They're not going to draft a running back.
Right, because they have Saquon Barkley.
Right. I mean, just like teams, even if you have a quarterback, and you have a franchise quarterback who's 28, 29 years old, you're not going to draft a quarterback. Yeah, Gettleman's basic last year said, my job with a top 10 pick is to draft a player that I believe is going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, well, he says a lot of things, Moose. You know what I mean?
No, but I understand he says a lot of things. But last year in the draft, the actions led you to believe what he actually said about the draft was true.
Yeah, well.
That's the deal. They might draft Dwayne Haskins because they view him as that value, as being the sixth best player in the draft. If they don't view him as that, they will not draft him sixth overall.
All right, and they'll lose.
No,
they're going to lose regardless.
No, they're not going to draft. They're not going to draft a player they don't believe in.
Right, and that's okay.
That's really their prerogative. And
if I'm Gettleman, I'm taking Haskins.
If you don't believe he's that guy.
Well, no, that's a different story. I mean, they went to dinner. That now the new report, like you said earlier, is that they love him. He's this. He's that. And that. I mean, there's not a lot not to like about Haskins. There's not a lot, except for he doesn't get a ton of hype.
He's got a long delivery.
I mean, you could go through all these guys and pick them apart. None of them are perfect, including Kyler Murray.
Right? Is he a product of the Urban Meyer offense?
You can
look at quarterbacks. I'm not going to break down Dwayne Haskins like a scout, but I'm going to look at it from a giant perspective. I'm not drafting on need per se if I don't believe in the player. I got to believe in the player first. They might. And we'll find out if they
do.
But certainly yesterday, Haskins at the Ohio State Pro Day certainly put on an absolute show. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That is your number to call. What's your take? What should the Giants do with the sixth overall pick? How impressed were you with the show that Haskins put on during the Ohio State Pro Day? Plus, Bosa doesn't work. He doesn't work out during the pro day. We'll get into that. And Le'Veon Bell, interesting interview on his departure to Pittsburgh and his arrival in New York. It's Taz and the Moose on a Thursday morning right here, CBS Sports Radio.
Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
It is Taz and the Moose with you here on this Thursday morning. The NCAA tournament gets going in full force later on today. We'll have our brackets for you. Remember, sign up for the Taz and the Moose Bracket Challenge. We'll run through each region, South, West, Midwest, East, pick our Final Four, give you our champion as well. But we want you to sign up at Taz and the Moose. Hit us up on Twitter. The link is there. Biseglia set it up, so we're set to go.
Hopefully it works.
Yes, you got 6 hours to get yourself, get your picks in. Darwin Zook is in now for the, I'd say the fatherly Andrew Bogish, who's taking care of his sick children here on this Thursday morning. What's up,
yes.
Darwin?
I'm hanging in there.
Mr. Zook, hello,
yeah.
Sir.
March Madness.
So if you would like, I don't know what you have going on. I'm sure you're in other brackets. You want to fill one out for our show? You're more than
I would love to.
It's
I'll
free.
Jump in. Yeah.
It doesn't
there
cost any
go.
Money.
I'm in on that.
You know, there's no prize at the end. like for anybody who works in the show. That's not a problem, right? We're not doing it for any.
No.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, no,
for
absolutely.
Fun. You're fine with doing it for fun? Okay, good.
Do you just get ridiculed if you finished in last or something? Or
yeah, that was my role last year.
Oh.
So.
Right, okay.
And I did, and I also had to buy breakfast for everyone.
Okay,
and I think
that's
we're
fair.
Doing it now. So finishing last, you got to buy breakfast for everyone.
I can do that. One dozen donuts coming up for you.
No, we got to go more of an egg white sandwiches for everyone on like rye bread with an Alpine Lake Swiss.
Oh, very specific.
Yeah, what's no over gold turkey breast on
does
there.
Starbucks have that?
Okay. No, they don't. Deli down the road does.
Perfect.
All right, Mr. Zook, and begin.
All right, let's go. This report is sponsored by Geico. Let me tell you that. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. As you guys said, let's see how many work callouts there are today. Everyone finalizing their brackets. March Madness in full swing. 6 hours from now, CBS, the first game of the day, 12:15 Eastern, 9:15 Pacific, Louisville taking on Minnesota. But first, let's tell you about how we got down to 64. Two more games last night, including Bobby Hurley's Arizona State Sun Devils looking to close out St. John's.
Dort lobs it ahead. Figueroa deflected it. Ball is loose. Trimble has it. Simon takes one more shot, a three-pointer at the buzzer. It rims out, and this game and the first four are over.
That's Ted Emmerich, the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network on the call. Arizona State winning at 74-65. They move on to face Buffalo. Red Storm, meanwhile, still haven't won a tournament game in 19 years. Other first four game, North Dakota State knocked off North Carolina Central 78-74. So the field now officially at 64. 16 games played today, including the top seed in the West. Gonzaga in action going up against Fairleigh Dickinson. Syracuse is the final game of the evening facing Baylor. 8-9 matchup. Cuse will be without their star point guard, Frank Howard, due to a, quote, violation of athletic department policy. Now to the NBA from last night, James Harden, 57 points, and it wasn't enough. The Rockets' rally fell short to Memphis in overtime, 126-125. Mike D'Antoni said after, his Rockets just waited too long to kick it into gear.
Didn't come out, focus. We played soft for about two quarters for sure, and then even in the third we made a little run, but then we let go of the rope. It was one of those games that every once in a while crops up, and you got to go on, and so be it. You know, it's too bad, but we just kind of threw it out of the way.
D'Antoni not happy. Mike Conley at 35 points for the Grizzlies in the victory. Sixers and Celtics tussled yet again. Joel Embiid, Marcus Smart getting into it. Smart ejected. He shoved the Sixers center from behind early in the third quarter. That Smart was ejected for that. Momentum changed from there. Philly goes on for the 118-115 win, and Embiid had himself quite a game. 37 points, 22 rebounds. Elsewhere, the Cavs upset the Bucks. No Giannis, though, in that one, 107-102. Magic handled the Pelicans at 119-96, and the Jazz, they continue to roll. They won their fifth in a row, hammering the Knicks 137-116. Heat defeated the Spurs on the road 110-105. Russ Westbrook did his thing, 42 points, wasn't enough. The Raptors overcame that. They win it in OKC, 123-114. And there is regular season baseball, guys, going on this morning. Underway from Tokyo, the Mariners taking on the A's. Ryan Healy has a two-run homer. Seattle leading at 3-0 now in the top of the third inning. Back to you guys.
All right. Thank you, Darwin.
Sir.
Appreciate that. You know, Taz, we spent a lot of the opening segment talking about Haskins and the Giants, what they're going to do at the quarterback spot. Do you have an issue at all with Bosa, Nick, that is, deciding not to work out at the Ohio State Pro Day?
I kind of do. And here's why. I don't think he was, like, off the chart amazing at the combine. And like I've said before, I like when somebody – I think all players, it should be mandatory. They compete in the drills at the combine. I really believe that. I'm not a big fan of the pro day thing, but I do think that, you know, with an Ohio State, you got guys that are fixing to go into the NFL in the draft, and you know, Nick Bosa's there. He probably should have done something. So I'm kind of, I can't give you a full answer, Moose, on it, but I like the fact more that he was at the combine. My thing with Nick Bosa, why this is what I don't like. Not the fact that he didn't. You know, that he didn't compete at the pro day in Columbus, but at Ohio State. But it's basically his overview narrative that it's not important. I don't think that's good. I think when you're young, coming into the league, you gotta show being humble. And this, Nick Bosa is a kid who didn't play all year for the most part because he had an injury. He didn't want to risk it, so he had that core injury to his midsection and. And he stayed out just to make sure, and his family supported him, and yada yada, and you know, so he wasn't playing all year. So I do think, Nick Bosa, okay, the combine was smart that he was there. okay, and he did his thing. And I do think because he didn't play as much football as everybody else, you probably should have, at your own school, competed in a participated, I should say, in your pro day.
Right. I don't disagree, Taz. But if he's already cemented himself as the number one overall pick or the number one overall player in this draft, where a lot of people believe that he is, that he's can play inside and outside. You look at his performance on the field. You look at what he put on game film. You look at, you know, the bloodlines. Look at what his brother's doing with the Los Angeles Chargers now, and what Nick Bosa was collegially at Ohio State. Does he have too much to lose?
I don't think so. I mean, to go and you're not on the field hitting. You're not going live.
I've already cemented myself as the number one overall prospect in the draft. What more do I have to prove?
Well, I guess he could. That's the same thing with Kyler Murray. I mean, we know he didn't compete in the combine, and he did the pro day.
But no, true. But Murray at the combine, more of an issue. But Kyler Murray had more questions because of his commitment to football. Kyler Murray had more questions because of his size. Kyler Murray had more questions because of the transition from that Oklahoma offense to an NFL offense, Taz, where it's going to be drastically different. Even though there are college principles that are being instilled in the NFL, it's just going to be a different offense, right? I mean, we know that. We understand it. Not everything you can do collegiately, you know, works in the NFL. Just ask Steve Spurrier, as he's now coaching the Alliance for American Football. So,
he's also 100 years old, but I get your point.
Right. It's a joke.
Maybe not 100.
He's not 100. It was might a be joke. 90. Anyway, so you look at Bosa. If I've already proven myself and I've shown myself to be healthy, and why is there the need that I need to then lay it on the line again at a pro day when I already did it out in Indianapolis?
Oh, no, because to repeat myself what I just said, my opinion, I think because he didn't play all the – I think you got to not remove all doubt. I mean, I get your drift, and you're right. I mean, you know, if you're Bosa, you know you're going to be at the very least a second overall pick, at the very, very least a third overall pick. Okay, so let's say he's not the first, because I personally don't think he should be the first overall pick. I just don't. I watched his combine, and I he ran a 4.7940. He benched 225, 29 reps. And I watched him in the drills. I know how fast his hands are, how talented he is. His brother, his dad in the NFL. I got it, but got great genetics. I understand the bloodlines. I do. I want to be sold on Nick Bosa because I've seen him play at Ohio State. I want to be sold, but I feel like I've seen him play eons ago at Ohio State because he's been out.
When you did see him play, he was a game wrecker.
He really was a game wrecker. You are correct. And it's just like, it just feels like, you know, it's the old, what have you done for me lately type thing. Well, I just feel like I think we need to see more. But again, I'm not a GM of an NFL team.
I'm just looking at it from his perspective. If, you know, if you are advising Nick Bosa and you've already, you know, cemented yourself in a spot in the draft to where you know where your floor is.
Right.
You know potentially where your ceiling is, but you know where your floor is. And your floor is probably the Jets at 3. Mm. That's your floor. Because I do believe that if Bosa's sitting there for the Jets and with the third overall pick, I think Nick Bosa's going to be a Jet.
You might be right about
so,
that.
Now your ceiling might only be 2 with Kyler Murray being the number one overall pick going to the Arizona Cardinals. So you know you're sitting at 2 to 3. You did the stuff out in Indianapolis. If you're saying to himself, all right, now the competitive nature of it, the spirit of it, I don't disagree with anything you said, just like I was critical of Kyler Murray not working out in Indianapolis.
Exactly,
I don't disagree. It did raise an eyebrow when tuned into Ohio State Day because we're locked into the NCAA tournament.
Sure.
You find out that Nick Bosa is not working out. That raise an eyebrow. So it is a little curious of a decision. But you know, thinking about it, from his perspective, if I know where my floor is, you know, is there really anything I need to do, for the Jets or for the 49ers? Is there more that I need to do that I can't do one-on-one with them?
To the point you're making, I mean, I think at the end of the day, to the point you're making.
You're advising him, right.
At the end of the day, I think this is, you know, once the draft happens, he's going to go ultra early, as we're discussing.
Right.
This is going to be this will be a moot point, right?
Yeah.
But if I'm advising him, I'm probably going to tell him, if I'm his dad, I'm going to say, or his older brother, I'm going to say, dude, you might want to just do some drills at the pro day. What the hell you got to lose? You're doing some drills on a bag. You're a D lineman. You're showing how quick you're off the edge. I know you did it at the combine. Just show, you know, let, just, you're gonna kick ass in these drills. Just do it. But he's saying, basically, it's a quote I'm seeing here from Pro Football Talk. He says, I just trust the people close to me that they said it was unimportant. That's what Bosa said to the NFL Network. So I got to do what's smart for me, you know. All right, well, look.
Well, right, and that's basically what he laid out. I'm not telling you it's right, but if you factor in, okay, what do I have to gain compared to what I have to lose?
Well, what if you could twist an ankle even though you're not hitting live? Say, you could go off the edge and you turn your ankle. So, it could happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Say you turn and then all of a sudden you do a quick movement, all of a sudden your Achilles goes.
Yeah, it could happen.
That could happen.
And he's a muscled up guy. He's got a lot of thick muscle.
Right.
On him.
Right. And that's what, you know.
Like really? Like
right.
Really
when you
thick.
Look at that core injury, for a guy of his age, that's, and you could speak to this better than anybody, Taz. I mean, when you have that kind of an injury, it shows you just how like muscled up you are.
I'm one of these guys that I'm not one of these guys that believes the more muscle the better. That's for people who think that they really don't understand the body or training or stuff like that. I think for different sports and different athletes, that's important. He looked to me, and he looked great. Don't get me wrong. He looked great if he was on the beach. He looked great if he was walking on a boardwalk in August, you know, with a tank top on. He looked great. I mean, he is really thickly muscled up. It almost looks like he doesn't look 6'3", 6'4". He looks like he's 5'10". This is on TV because his quads are so thick, like Barkley-esque type quads.
Right.
Now, Barkley, the running back for the Giants, the size of his quads and how fast he it would look like he probably can't run that fast until he just boom, he's gone. So with Bosa, he's got that same similar explosion off the ball. He's very muscled up, which could lead to the things we're talking about.
Yeah,
if you're doing a drill, so
right?
Maybe,
that's all. I mean, he's right there with Metcalf. I mean, Metcalf with the 1.6% body fat. I mean, he doesn't even look like – he looks like he should be on the cover of Men's Fitness instead of trying to play wide receiver in there. And he's a very, very talented player. He's got to hold on to the football, run a little bit cleaner routes. But his body is ridiculous.
And a lot of people like –
he might just bunk up in the gym.
A lot of people are like, well, are they drug testing these guys or what? You know, the thing is – yeah, they drug test, right? But the thing is there's a lot of natural supplements now that you can take, and if you're training right, and there's different nutritional programs you can go on, but you don't. Life's a lot easier now if you're trying to be an athlete that's eating properly and that's training and taking right supplementation, and it's much more. It's different than years ago. Like it's like training. There's so much more evolution in training and smarts behind it. And the guys like a Nick Bosa is getting the best training possible. He looks great.
To play to your point, there is the idea of getting too muscled up, of getting too thick, getting too strong. And there are a couple of examples, when I think about that. Number one is I think of Roy Williams, the former Texas wide receiver who was drafted by Detroit, then traded Dallas, and the Cowboys gave up a couple high draft choices for him. He was in remarkable shape. He was and you saw that have a negative impact on his game. I also think of about a guy like David Boston, former Ohio State wide receiver.
Yeah.
Remember him?
Yeah.
David Boston, was a really good player, fell in love with working out. Now some might raise speculation about other things that he was doing as well.
Right.
But he also became basically like a gym rat, Taz, where he couldn't get away from lifting weights and put on more and more muscle. And that negatively impacted him because he no longer had the explosion off the ball that he once did, and he no longer had the speed that he once did down the football field.
It definitely can hinder you.
So you have to be careful, and there has to be the proper and right balance in terms of, to play the point that you mentioned, Taz, and is that you have to add the right muscle and not going out there and adding all this muscle is not necessarily a good thing based on what you're trying to do athletically.
It's very addicting. Training and building muscle.
Well, that high, right?
Yeah, it's a
high. That's why I do it every day.
It's a high. But some people, especially when you're young, I was the same way when I was younger. You know, when you're seeing results, it's very addicting for any man or woman out there who likes to train, especially younger people when they're starting to see that maturity in muscle. You know, and that happens to a lot of guys and girls. It happens. But the point you're making, depending on your sport, you got to be careful. Like, for example, Bosa, as great as he is with his hands and how great of a player and a disruptor he is, his hips are tight. If you watch him, his hips are tight. as quick as his feet are and as quick as his hands are, his hips are a little tight. These better players, like these high-end guys, you know, like you got to have that loose hip, that spindle in your hip for that explosion. Mm. He's tight in his hip, where a Josh Allen, the edge rusher from Kentucky, opposite Moose. Watch his hips, the swivel on his hips. Foo-foo, how quick it is. Lawrence Taylor, the great Lawrence Taylor, if you watch it from years ago, his hip movement, any great athlete, it's all hips. Yeah. A lot of people don't talk about that because it's not a sexy conversation, but it is. The hips are the key.
Well, it's
hips don't lie, as they say.
There you go, right? Well, in a lot of different ways, right?
855. We're talking football.
Yes, 855-212-4227. It's Taz of the Moose with you. We'll get into Le'Veon Bell. Now he's giving you a little feel about his decision to leave Pittsburgh, why he sat out the year, why he's happy to be a New York Jet. Interesting convo with SI.com. We'll hear from Bell. We'll react. We'll do that next. Taz Moose, a Thursday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
Who will be college basketball's national champion? Make sure you call in and give your opinion on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Hey, everyone. Here's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance, too? Get it all right now. Geico.com. We're going to run through two regions coming your way at the top of the hour. March Madness is upon us. Opening day of the official tournament after the first four out in Dayton, Ohio, last couple nights. That saw North Dakota State victorious last night, and Arizona State in what was a snooze fest of a basketball game, passing by Chris Mullin and St. John's. And what
game
was a
stunk.
Terrible game, right? Stunk. East and West preview and predictions coming your way at the top of the second hour, coming your way at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 4 Pacific. Right now, we move on over to Le'Veon Bell as he's becoming more and more vocal now that he's got that fresh $52 million deal, 4 years. There's some guaranteed money, and he's now the running back, wearing number 26 for the New York Jets. Here is Bell, courtesy of SI.com, talking about the process that led to his holdout.
First, I was literally just thinking, like, I wouldn't play camp. Because camp and OTAs, I haven't went to camp or OTAs, so I'm just, like, conserving my body. I'm like, I'm not playing. But I'm just thinking, like, you know, when week one come, I'm going to come, but things kind of laid up the week one, so I'm like, okay, I'm not going to play week one. Things after even week one, you know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like certain buildup, so it's not making me feel comfortable. Like, over the course of the time, that's what I'm getting at. It's like, I can't even remember, like, little details or little things that was happening, but just leading up to week one or when they was in camp and I wasn't and I was training, just leading up to that, it's kind of like, I'm cool. And then week two, come on, I'm cool. And then it got to a point where it's like, regardless of what they say, I'm gonna come back after the bye week. I'm gonna bite the bullet. I'm gonna come back after the bye week.
Well, and he eventually did not come back. Here he is talking about the fact that he feels even more comfortable now in New York than he ever did in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, when I first got to Pittsburgh, I didn't get that feeling. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying
different.
They greeted me wrong or indifferent, but it's like when I got to New York with the Jets and things like that, just talking like even like the teammates, it's like, I felt like welcomed. I felt it. You can sense when people genuinely want you around. When they genuinely want you here, they genuinely want you to be good. They genuinely want
feeling.
You to be. You know, we want you to be good here.
That's good.
It's like the vibe I got. You know, but when I first got drafted to Pittsburgh, I wasn't thinking like, oh, this is a bad spot. Well, no, I was thinking I was happy. I got drafted to Pittsburgh. I was happy. I'm thinking this is how it's supposed to be. I'm thinking this is how it's supposed to be. I didn't know because I was a 20-year-old, got drafted, came here. So I'm thinking, like, when they're talking to me, I'm thinking this is how it's supposed to be. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to talk to me like that.
Yeah, I mean, there is. Now, he talked about when he initially got drafted and brought in from to Pittsburgh from Michigan State. I mean, there is a difference. You are a rookie. I mean, right now you've established yourself as the number two running back in the National Football League. So,
what was he getting yelled at? I mean, like, what's the problem? What, the steals are tough on players? Is that what we're hearing?
Well, but they're going to treat rookies and established players
exactly.
A lot differently.
Yeah.
But clearly was not happy. Here he is talking about Roethlisberger's leadership in Pittsburgh.
Ben is Ben. He's the quarterback. At the time, I'm thinking that's how it's supposed to be. He's supposed to be like that. Like, don't get me wrong, quarterbacks are leaders, and yeah, everybody go to the quarterback. It is what it is. But it's like, it's still, you're still a teammate at the end of the day. You're not, you know what I'm saying? You're not Kevin Colbert.
Oh, God.
Like, what?
I mean, it's like, you leave the team. You're not, you know, you didn't play, right? Whatever happened, business, whatever. Now you're on the Jets. Kumbaya, everybody's happy. Bell's happy. The Jets are happy. Jet fans are throwing parties. Oh, my God, he's going to score touchdowns. He's going to be better than Curtis Martin. All this stuff, right? Okay, great. Stop. What are you going to talk? Just don't. There's nothing to be said about your former team.
Well, that,
it looks like sour grapes. Just leave it alone.
But
just
he gets
on.
Asked a question.
I know, but still, I mean, you got to take the high road. Moose, this team, you and I, will never break up. Okay, if it does break up and someone interviews you, big radio website, big sports yeah. radio website.
No, it's not my way.
They're
going
to say, hey, Boost, this Taz, was he really the douche everybody thought he was?
No. I wouldn't.
You're
not going to
do that.
I've not been. I don't get critical of people. No. Don't worry.
You're not going to do that, right?
Well, no. You're not, right?
I don't think so.
Well, you're a little worried.
No,
so, like there's
no, because,
a little worried.
Because you know, you've called me. No, you get my joking, but you get my point.
But
like, you're not gonna, you know, no one's gonna do that.
I mean, he didn't come out and call Ben Roethlisberger names. He just questioned the leadership. Taz, isn't Le'Veon Bell questioning the leadership of Roethlisberger or the mindset of the Steelers organization? Very similar to what we did when Colbert came out and addressed the media?
Well, the Colbert thing, yes. You're
but
right. Yes, to answer your question, yes. The short answer is yes.
Isn't and they give him basically full reign, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we
everybody
didn't play
else
the
children, basically.
Right. So, right. And that Roethlisberger is the unquestioned leader of the organization, right? And so, I mean, isn't Le'Veon Bell just confirming? And now it's Bell and it's Brown, two guys that have been critical of Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger did go on media, after that interception that he threw in Denver, right?
Yeah.
Did go on his radio show that he does in Pittsburgh, I believe.
Yeah,
and Mike could correct me if I'm wrong. He does that show every single week. But did go out that and criticize Brown's route.
Yeah,
that
the
he didn't flatten out there.
Right.
That he ran.
He drifted.
Correct. So he did publicly criticize one of his teammates,
which was wrong.
So let me ask you this: if Roethlisberger does that to one of his teammates, then if we are one of his teammates or now a former teammate, can you then criticize Ben Roethlisberger? Listen,
I think there's a difference. I mean, let me answer the question. I think there's a difference, I get your point. I like your point. But here's the difference: you're not on the team anymore. So now, if you're Bell, now AB, different story. He kind of was talking trash once he was doing his craziness,
right?
About so at least he did it while he, quote unquote, was still on the roster. Bell didn't say boo about, unless I missed something. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think Bell said anything about Roethlisberger while I was there. Now you leave, and now it's like if we have a guest come on our show, and the guy's saying some stuff we don't agree with. But while we're on the air with him, like, yeah, no problem, you're right. And then once he's off the air, we bury the guy. That's bad. You don't do that. Maybe it's a bad example, but you get what I'm saying.
No, I get what you're saying, Taz, but he's not going to do that when he's sitting out, right? And he's also not going to rip Roethlisberger until he has a deal.
Well, we saw Antonio Brown rip everybody.
No, I get that, but Brown was under contract. So Brown had the security of knowing.
Well, True Bell's trying to make sure he's got a deal.
Yeah, right. Brown, if he wanted to, Taz, could show up in Pittsburgh. They'd have to pay him.
Right.
So he's got the security of still having 2 years left on his deal or whatever it was, 3 years left on
but
his
contract.
But they
got to pay him. It don't matter. Right.
So they still have to pay him.
Bell,
as long as he
showed.
Bell's looking for a deal. So
good
if
point.
You're Le'Veon Bell and you come out as that free agency process is going,
smack.
And you're ripping Roethlisberger
and
the Steelers.
That's a good point. You're right.
You're going to turn a lot of people off.
Yeah. All right, then I take back. I'll go back. I'll take back what I said.
Go back. Is it a good look? Could Le'Veon Bell take the high road? Yeah. I mean, Taz, he could take
the high road. I do.
Well, can he be a little classy in how he's doing and say, if he gets asked a question about the Steelers and say, listen, I've turned the page on Pittsburgh.
That's it, man.
I'm not talking about Pittsburgh. I'm looking ahead.
I believe
I'm not talking about Roethlisberger. I appreciate the opportunity they gave me. It didn't work in the end. I have my reasons why I sat out the entire year.
I believe in that.
I'm not flushing. I'm not going through every single thing that I did, nor do I want to talk about past relationship with the Steelers. I want to move on. Could he do that? Yeah, he could do that.
If the time ever comes.
And if he did that, we wouldn't be talking about that.
That's true. I don't believe. Right, that's true. I would not. If I ever left this show, I would never rip anybody on the show. Never.
Good to know.
Nope. Never. Good to know.
I appreciate that. Good to know.
Not Thank Taz, you. Don't leave. We don't want you to leave. Good to know, Taz. When you leave, you won't rip
no,
us.
No, Taz.
No, I won't. I won't, Moose. Not even you.
Not even you. I will not rip you either.
Thank
when
you,
I,
sir.
When I leave.
I rode Jones.
Taz, Moose. See you when I
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.